forget the opening to the podcast every time. Okay, hold on.
Welcome to GLHF, the world's first. There's a baby here.
All right, I'm going to use that as the intro. Wait, I just made you do the intro inadvertently.
Incredible. Welcome to the show. I'm curious. I'm watching this baby walk around behind us, and this baby's a lot shorter than us. Is it saving our growth height each time we log in?
It might be, because you look like your head is smaller. Yeah.
Yeah, you do too. So is that why you can't change characters? It's like you're committed to this body forever when you play this game?
Yeah, we're growing slowly over time.
So if we do 50 episodes in this one game, because this is what, number 3 now?
Yeah.
I mean, does that mean that we're just going to get taller and taller and taller?
I mean, I'm excited to find out.
The world may never know. And also,
you're giving Humpty Dumpty right now. Like, you're very egg-shaped. I'm looking at your whole body right now.
Yeah, I would say you are egg-shaped as well.
Yeah.
Even though there's another person right next to you who looks just like you, but smaller.
Happy Easter, everybody.
And also,
everybody,
in a way, the taller you are sort of implies like you're more of a veteran at the game, you know? So all
right,
these babies
we're like better at it.
Are just
noobs. They're noobs, yeah.
And we've been here for years. We're toddlers at this point.
Has the word noob gone out of style? Because we need to bring that back. We need to be calling people noobs.
It definitely has gone out of style, yeah. What do people,
what do people say to insult each other in games now?
Scrub, or what? Scrub is still like sometimes used. Or in Fortnite, there was, what is it called when you have the default skin? There was a word that people used, like,
I don't know.
Your default, or your like whatever it is.
Actually, because in Roblox, oh my gosh, they call you like ramen hair or something, because the default hair that it gives
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But in Roblox, it's like, I guess in Fortnite too, it's a little insidious because it actually costs money to get any other skin. So
it's like straight up prejudice. Yeah. It's like it's making fun of people for being poor.
Yeah. It's class discrimination.
Yes. But then there's the thing is, in Fortnite, we've also brought this term that's making fun of people who are too good called sweaties, right? So we've got sweaties, and then you've got
exactly.
noobs
you
or
can't,
whatever.
You have to be good, but you can't care about being good.
Exactly. It's got to be right in the middle.
The gaming community is very judgmental, I'm learning.
They are. They really are. And if I start to say more on that topic, I'm going to go on another one of my rants.
That's
so
fine.
I'm going to keep my... I'm going to keep my lips sealed. The one thing I can say about, or not about that, but kind of, well, not even kind of about that, a Boeing 787 just crashed. Did you hear about this?
No. Oh my gosh. This is the plane crash podcast. We're going to make everybody paranoid. Where was
this? In India. It was on its way to London. Obviously, we have no idea why, but this is the first time. The Boeing 787, the Dreamliner, one of maybe my favorite.
Yeah, the big international
large
one.
Passenger plane. It's this beautiful plane. The engineering that went into it is incredible, despite the fact that it crashed. People make fun of Boeing, but this was designed kind of around, but slightly before the time that Boeing did all their funky stuff that crashed those other planes. It's an amazing plane. Never before has one of these crashed. First one ever. And it's like the first time in 30 or 40 years that a... what they would call a jumbo jet actually has crashed. So like one of these large twin aisle planes. So
do you know what
rip
happened
to those folks? We don't really know what happens. I watched the video. The only thing we can say for sure is the engines were not, I mean, this is, I guess, kind of a given in every plane crash, but the engines were not producing sufficient thrust to keep it from hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Something went wrong. And does that mean it was a dual engine failure on takeoff, which is basically never happens? Or does it mean like pilot error, or does it mean, you know, something else? We don't really know.
So basically every plane crashes because it doesn't fly right. It just starts not flying right, and then it crashes.
Yes. And that goes against the way that they're designed. Obviously, they are designed to fly. So anytime something like this happens, you can guarantee that this isn't obviously how they were designed.
Yeah. I was a kid and I was scared of flying for the first time, I was told by adults that even if the engines go out, the plane can glide to safety. So is that just not right? Is that just incorrect? Are there planes that can do that?
Adding the addendum to safety is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. They can glide for a really long time. The glide ratio, as they say on these planes, is really impressive. Like if your engines fail when you're at like 40,000 feet, unless you're over the ocean, there's a 100% chance that there's, you can glide to an airport within, you probably, I mean, fuck, I bet you could glide like 100 miles in one of these fucking planes because they glide so well. But in this case, the engines went out when they were like 700 feet above the ground. It was like right after takeoff. So there was, you know, not enough time. But yeah, planes can glide, especially these big planes. They have really, really good glide ratios, which is like Sully. He glided for quite a while. You saw that? You see that movie?
I think so. I've at least seen a lot of clips of it on TikTok.
They were at like, what, 2,000 feet, maybe 3,000 feet? I can't remember exactly, but they glided for like 3 minutes before they hit the ground, like with no engines. So they do glide for a while. You know, again, to safety? Question mark. Really depends on a lot of other things. I would say usually yes. And also, like, both engines, they shouldn't break at the same time because they're not connected. They're two totally independent systems. Mm-hmm. So something has to go pretty wrong for both of them to go wrong. And obviously that's what happened here. So rip to them. Obviously, we don't know what happened, but if I didn't bring it up, someone would comment that I didn't bring it up. So,
yeah, you're the guy now. You're the plane crash guy.
I guess I
want to get through my homework report real quick.
Yes, I was absolutely going to berate you.
Because then
berate,
we did...
Whatever it is.
Maybe we can do some listener questions at the end if we remember to make time
for
that.
No way. That's crazy. Should I start looking them up now, or did you look them up?
I'll look them up when the time comes.
All right, I trust you.
So first of all, I played Tetris Effect.
Oh, sick. Good.
It was very good and very fun. I love a game that's synced to music, and it was very well done.
So good.
Didn't take very long for being a $40 game. I did get it for $20 because it went on sale half off like the day after you told me about it. So I was like, sick. $20, but $40 for Tetris.
So funny that you say that, because I played that game for probably 20 hours and did not beat it. So I don't know what what the difference between us is. Yeah, I was like, I mean, I played it on
like
hard.
Like the campaign? Oh, so I didn't play it on redo. Hard.
Oh, well then, what do you got to play it on hard. It's a high score. It's a high score game. You got to pump that difficulty up.
I played
That's
it to 5.
Numbers. Well, then, obviously, it's the vibe. You would want it to be quick, wouldn't you?
Well, of course you're having trouble on hard. Anyway, I just played it on normal and like I dragged it out on purpose over like 3 days.
You saw the whales.
It only took like a couple hours. I did see the whales. That's the very first song, I think, that you're talking about.
I'm yours forever. Yeah. You remember that song? So good.
But yeah, it was chill music and cool how the game like reacts and makes sounds that go with the music.
Did you play online against other people? I thought that was your whole thing.
Well, I'll do that. I'll probably try that next.
All right, sick.
I just did the campaign so far, and I don't have much to say about it other than good rec. Maybe get it on sale. $40 is a lot for Tetris. I can just Google the word
Reasonable,
Tetris
yeah.
and play Tetris instantly. So,
really?
Yeah, Google right Tetris now. Right now. You can just play it online.
Damn, that's crazy. You're right. You literally just Google Tetris, and the first thing is play Tetris. And then,
of course,
if you wait a second, aside from seeing all these advertisements for second grade. Why are they advertising grade school to me? It doesn't matter. Then you just hit play. 3, 2, 1. I am now playing Tetris.
Is it like for school supplies or they're advertising the concept of the second grade?
No, it literally says it's showing me grades, pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. And then it says learning can be fun.
And right. So those are probably browser games for second graders,
well,
I would guess.
Let me click it. Let's see. AdaptedMind.com. Welcome to Adapted Mind. Let's go. It's like a weird, freaky thing, a little monster. So I'm going to learn some stuff.
Are you learning
as we
stuff?
Pod.
Put yourself in those shoes of a second grader and learn some things. Anyway, the other thing was the HQ Trivia documentary, which was great drama, lots of tea. I did, however, there's drama in the watching of the documentary because this only came out like a year ago. And, you can't watch it on any official services anymore because it's suspected that the CEO like had it taken off the internet.
Is it a scathing takedown of the,
it's a little
like,
bit
whatever?
Scathing. I mean, it's basically just explaining that the business failed because of poor business decisions, but,
okay.
So I had to watch it on, you know, an unauthorized website. I'll just say that.
What were those websites called?
Because it's like lost media at this point. You can't get it in a normal way. And part of the story is one of the first like articles, I guess, that came out about HQ when it was starting to get popular is this one like tech reporter girl wanted to do just like an innocent profile of Scott Rogowski, the host, just like talking about who he is because he was like newly a celebrity. And the CEO, Russ, got like pissed about it. He like called her and was yelling at her over the phone. This is an unauthorized interview. And it was a totally innocent interview where he was just talking about like his daily routine as the host of HQ. And it was only like a few paragraphs long of an article. But the CEO was like pissed about it because it was unauthorized. And because Scott mentioned that he goes to Sweet Green for lunch sometimes. And Russ was like, you can't say that in the article because we don't have a brand partnership with Sweet Green.
So did this guy just basically tank the whole thing kind of just by being a jerk?
I mean, yeah, it's like him and his other co-founder maybe just made some... Oh, you disappeared.
What?
You can just keep talking. We're bringing it back right now.
Okay. I guess the documentary is mainly blaming Russ. I'm sure that there were other people involved at the company that maybe were making bad decisions. It's just like a really classic story of a startup that ends up failing because they gain a bunch of success that they're not ready for. And they had all these glitches in the app because there's too many people accessing it. And then they were like scared to evolve and change the formula because they thought it was successful. And so they kept just like banging their head into the wall, doing the same thing over and over again until people got bored of it and they lost all their money.
I kind of heard that a big part of it was that these, like, I guess it was the CEO.
Yeah,
didn't like how much people liked Scott Rogowski, and it was like jealous kind of because people were like, "Oh, Scott is what makes HQ great," and the CEO was like, "Nuh-uh."
That's a lot of the. That's kind of the spin that this documentary was putting on it too. Is that there was some jealousy that Scott was the face of the app because Russ wanted to be the charismatic guy that everybody liked, and he was the one going crazy over the phone. So that was
even
maybe part
of
it.
HQ? Because I remember there was like five hosts, but I don't remember if one of them was Russ.
No, Russ was just the CEO. At various points, he was the CEO, and then he got fired, and then he was the CEO again. And it is crazy that so his other co-founder, that I'm forgetting his name now, sorry. Colin, sorry. I just watched this last
Colin.
Night. Colin, like, died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, fuck.
During this whole thing, like kind of as the app was starting to be on the decline, but it was like everybody that worked with him in the documentary was like, we had no idea he even did drugs, and then he just died.
Damn.
So that's crazy. He was like the engineer guy that did a lot of the technology behind it. So
according to the internet, they founded Vine as well.
Yes, they found Vine, okay. And then they sold it, and then they regretted selling it because Twitter just erased it. And then
oh,
they were trying
happens?
This new thing.
I don't even really remember.
Yeah.
Huh. Jack Dorsey.
I'm sure Twitter regrets it now because TikTok is so huge, but I think they just, I don't know, they didn't think it was that important. They just got rid of it. It was costing too much server money or
well,
whatever.
Well, yeah, it's
got
to be right. They just, it wasn't immediately making money and they didn't want to figure out how, so they were like, whatever.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
But it was huge before TikTok was huge. Like, that would probably be what we were using if they had... kept going, so
it had a big impact on culture for sure. I mean, everyone can remember, you almost made me drop my croissant.
Exactly. Love that one.
Okay. Just
I wish I could remember more of them. There's plenty of good vines. And there's plenty of cringe vines. It's funny, you look back at some Vine compilations and you're like, this is actually a little bit not funny, but at the time it was so
cringe.
New at the time that it felt
Yeah,
it felt
it's kinda
fresh.
Like it's like going back to look at, do you remember Rage comics and stuff like that?
Yeah.
They're just really not funny.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't know if those were ever really funny.
Well, I thought they were funny at a time, and I'm embarrassed at myself. I don't understand. Like, I can't even put myself in the mindset of why I thought it was funny.
There's
like,
people that are still stuck in that era. Like, there's people that still are into Rage comics and, like,
maybe
animal
memes.
Maybe it's
always some portion of the populace is into that stuff. You know, it's like
maybe
a wave on the ocean. It passes you, but it's always there. Someone's always riding the wave.
You, but, sir, just won the internet.
Oh, God. I forgot when people used to say sir online. Like, I don't like when people call me good sir.
They still
Some people
do.
Still text me now. They go, thank you, good sir. And I'm like, stop, please stop. Because if I understand that it's like, it's reflex. And
these
I probably
guys still
even
exist. You can go on Reddit right now and see a bunch of these guys. They're on there. They're still saying it.
You're actually totally right. Because the amount of times you see like a Reddit thread and then there's like a really, really cringe joke about whatever, like a pun, like they're basically puns a lot of the time, but whatever it is, like a really cringe joke, and then like it has a ton of upvotes, and the people like reply and say like stealing this, and I'm like, oh my god, this, you're killing me, you're killing me with this. This is horrible. But listen, I was part of the problem at one point, so I can't hate.
Maybe it's kind of beautiful that some people are just stuck in time like that, like nothing ever truly dies.
Well, is it this? Is it same people stuck in time, or is it that time is stuck in people? You know, is it are the same people still doing? Thank you. Are the same people? What, you know, you can be the captain of your ship, you can be the master of your soul, but until you realize life is coming from you, not at you. Fuck. What was the quote? Timothy Chalamet. Shout out. Ironically, who is the person who tricked me into saying shout out? Timothy Chalamet. Anyway,
he didn't trick you. You heard him say it, and you said, "I'm stealing that."
Oh no! You're so right. I am the one who's stuck in time. This is a disaster. I can't believe I'm realizing this live on the air.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You're fine. Maybe Timothy will start saying something else. Maybe we can feed each other turns of phrase, as they say. Oh, is that company still around, or is it just like totally ripped? Totally. Bye-bye.
No, it kind of like petered out. They did this weird thing where early 2020, just before COVID, they like said they were officially shutting down and they had like a last show and all this stuff. And then like 6 weeks later, it mysteriously just started up again because they managed to get money from some investor. And then now, and then they, of course, shut it down again when that money ran out just unceremoniously. So it is gone now. It's deleted from the app stores and stuff. But I think their last show was in like 2022 or 3. So they lasted longer than I thought they did. It's just everyone stopped paying attention.
I really wonder, there's got to be footage of the very last one they did, right? Like it has to be
on YouTube. I don't know. I think it was the one where they first announced that they were officially shutting down in 2020. There is a last show where like all the hosts are there and they're just all getting wasted and like barely paying attention to saying the questions. It's really funny. I watched a little bit of it.
How hard can it be to run something like this? Like how much money could it really cost? Like,
well,
I feel like
they needed
you could do something like this on Twitch.
They needed money to put on the show and to give people in prizes. Like at their height, they were giving away like hundreds of thousands of dollars in prizes.
Oh, damn. That's a lot of money.
Like, and they had shows every day, so different days would be different. Some days they would only give out 20k, but like they had days where they were giving out,
even still though,
hundreds of thousands in one day. So it's
where
just
were they
one
getting
of these
this
things,
money just loans?
Investors, it's all investors.
I guess that makes
and
sense. And if you're gonna take money from anyone, fine.
Obviously it was free to play the game, so all of their money I assume was based on advertising, because they would do brand deals during the streams. But you can only get so far with that if you're trying to give away,
I guess,
$1 million.
It's just weird. I mean, I know it happens literally all the time with tech entrepreneurs, but it's weird to me to be like, all right, we can get a brand deal for, you know, this brand will give us 20K. That's the most we can possibly get. But we're going to give away $500,000 every week and we can get a 20K brand deal. I'm like, do you not see how that, like, just the blind trust you have to have? That, like, I'm sure we'll work it out when you're going like millions of dollars in the hole from investors. Though it's not in the hole, I guess, because they're giving you the money.
Yep.
So it's not like, honestly, based. Cool. Do that. Take more money from investors. We should start something. Let's get an app going.
A lot of the tech industry is based entirely on speculation, which is wild. But it is
in
how
a way,
it is. They keep doing
isn't
it.
Isn't that communism? because all that money, millions of dollars, got taken from these rich fucking people who just have money to throw at investments, and it got distributed to the smart people of the world via HQ. It just got given to these people. So it got sucked away from these investors, got distributed to these random ass intelligent people of the masses, these civilians
of America. Like maybe it's a Robin Hood type of thing.
It's kind of a Robin Hood type of thing if you think about it. And in a way, you almost have an obligation to start things that suck money from investors so that then you can maybe give it to other people.
Yeah, I don't think that's why they did it. I think they did it to try and get rich.
They did try to do that, but the consequence was communism. That's my argument. HQ is communism. It's like Singapore.
I can get behind that, like via the prize money given out. It definitely, right. I thought where you were going with that sentence was, is it communism to fund tech startups in general? No, I don't think so.
No, but to create a tech startup that takes money from investors, money to you don't have to repay it. Right. So if it's kind of like, what's her name was communism? Elizabeth Holmes? That's communism, right?
That's basically Wait, how is she giving thing. Money to people?
Well, she got a bunch of money from investors and she gave it to the lab people. I don't know who the fuck she gave her money to. Who'd she give the money to? Herself?
Fucking herself and spent it on a failing business.
But if you spend it on the business, you're giving it to somebody, right? Like you're paying the janitor.
I guess in a lot of cases, it's a huge fucking waste of resources. Like what she was doing was an enormous scam.
It's a jobs program via investors.
Yeah, but there's a lot of money that's not just going to jobs. It's going to the technology and shit that is just a waste anyway.
Yeah, they're like making all this shit that never actually goes anywhere. But somebody's got to make it. They got to get paid to make it, you know?
I guess. I just wanted to say the phrase, Elizabeth Holmes is communism. That's the claim we're making today.
Exactly.
But a lot of people apparently didn't even get their winnings for HQ. And I remember hearing about this at the time, too, sucks. Is for a long time they had some kind of limit where you had to win $20 before you could even cash out. And a lot of people were winning like $5 and then they just never actually saw it. So they probably saved some money that way because they would say you can't cash out until you have $20 and then you have 90 days to do it. And it just like expires. So. A lot of people's money just disappeared. So a lot of people didn't get it. But some people did. Some people got, you know, $1,000. I think one guy got $20,000 that he had to kind of email support a lot about to actually receive. But just a lot of glitches, a lot of stupid decisions made by big ego tech bros, a.k.a. my favorite subject. I love to watch them fall.
Love it.
They never learn their lesson is something I've realized. I've watched a lot of documentaries about these kind of guys. And I guess Elon is the greatest example. They can fail a million times. They will always find ways to say it's not their fault and they will never, ever learn their lesson. It still
is blame somebody else.
Satisfying to see their businesses crash and burn or to see them sent to prison or whatever. But they're like a special breed of person that just... never learns from their mistakes because they refuse to admit that they've even made mistakes. I think it's really, I don't know. I think I'm fascinated by it psychologically because I'm like, how does this type of brain even exist? It's very interesting.
Who do you think is, when you think of tech bro who fails all the time, who do you think is the biggest, like who do you think of? Because Elon Musk, especially recently, would qualify.
Yeah.
But he did like have, he does have a lot of very profitable businesses, but he lost like, billions of dollars on Twitter.
Yes.
And like he's losing a lot of money in at least Tesla stock value right now. But who's like, do you have a favorite of these clowns? Like, or your favorite story?
Elon's definitely the biggest one. I really like the Fire Festival story because like I said,
that to me is the classic one. Yeah,
the guy, and I forget his name, but he did Fire Festival and it crashed and burned and he went to prison for it and he got out of prison and immediately started another scam. And that is just so funny to me because that's what I mean by like what's going on in his brain. He learns nothing. He can go to prison for years, which is like pretty traumatizing for most people. And he gets out and without hesitation starts another thing.
Do you think there's something in their brain?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not qualified to diagnose anybody, but it's very fascinating to me. It definitely seems like complete disregard for anybody else's feelings. Like, maybe they just really like, do have kind of emotional deficits, and the only way they can feel anything is money and power.
Like going to prison. Yeah, the Fyre Festival one is funniest to me because they didn't most. I feel like the thing that happens most often is you get one of these people, and they get mostly kind of just lucky, and they have one really successful thing. And then from that point forward, it's failure after failure.
Well, they
after failure.
Get lucky, and let me say this. They're salespeople. All these people are salespeople. They don't know what
right,
the fuck...
Right, like Elizabeth Holmes.
Like, God, don't even get me started on Elon, because I've hated Elon since day one. That's something I'm very proud of. Elon is a fucking idiot. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's never known what he's doing. It makes me mad when people call him an engineer, because he's not a trained engineer. He doesn't know anything. He hires people that know what they're doing, and he, like, treats them like dogs and, like, forces people to work like crazy for his vision. And everybody that's ever worked under him that is like able to say something, because I'm sure a lot of people have NDAs or whatever and they can't talk until they've been out of the company some years. Everybody that's ever worked directly with him says he's an idiot. He's the kind of guy that comes to meetings and just says impossible things and says you have to make it happen or you're fired.
Yes.
And he's a salesperson at the end of the day. The guys that are the heads of these companies are able to go to these board meetings, investor meetings, and get a bunch of money based on nothing. This is what I'm saying. It's based on speculation. It's based on this like fantasy world that they have created in the boardroom of what the future is going to be. And they say,
Robotaxi.
Every single one of them is saying, this is the future. This is inevitable. This is what's going to happen. And I know, and I have a premonition. And so if you don't get on this train right now, you're missing out. And the investors fall for it, and they give them a shit ton of money based on no profit. So, like, when people are saying, like, Elon has made all these successful companies, they've raised this much money. I fundamentally will never understand how saying the company has raised this much money means anything. That just means you were able to, like, fool a bunch of people.
Yeah, you're not selling a product for things.
You're not selling
anything.
Totally you're not proving any profits. You're, right. You're going into a room and intentionally... misrepresenting your company. That's what they tell you to do. I went to one single event at UPenn that was for like engineer entrepreneurs because, you know, you go to a school like that, you end up lost in the sauce a little bit. I wasn't very much, but I was like, I was dipping my toe in the sauce. And I went to one event that was like, if you want to start your own business as an engineer. And they seriously get up there and tell you about like how to do an elevator pitch, how to do a deck for an investor presentation. They call it a deck, like a deck of cards, because you're like playing this game of sales. And they tell
Sounds
you to
fun.
Misrepresent stuff. They tell you how to make the graph so that there's a break in it, so it looks like the upward curve is steeper than it actually is. They tell you to do that.
That's incredible. I'm glad I didn't learn about this like 10 years ago, or else I would be a monster right now. I would be a total fucking nightmare. I'd be like, oh, that's fun. That's like a game. It's like a cool game. We can get all this money from these people who don't need it.
And now you've accidentally got me on here yelling. I don't like to do this on the internet. But
no,
this
I like
makes
it because you actually
so
know
mad.
About this stuff. Because I've heard from people that one of the things that really my shift going from like Elon neutral to negative Elon as a few years ago, as you started hearing Elon try to start talking about actual engineering or like actual problems, and everybody who knew things about the things he was talking about would say, it was so funny how often you would hear this phrase where people would be like, Elon's really, really smart, but when he talks about this thing that I actually know about, he's just an idiot. And you're like, are you not connecting the dots here? That
right,
it's like,
he's not smart.
It just, if you know anything about the things he's talking about, he is not a person with knowledge. That's not really his skill set.
No.
He's just kind of a person with ideas, and he's really mean.
Yes.
And you put those things together, and that's, you know, you end up getting some things. I don't know. I don't even know. Is Tesla even profitable? I read something somewhere that like almost half of their profits comes from just selling carbon credits, you know, like because every company gets carbon credits that you can say, oh, you can pollute this much, but you can also sell them.
I don't know.
I think like a bunch of their profits come from that, but it doesn't matter.
All anybody ever talks about with Tesla is the fucking stock price. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just imaginary. I don't know. Nobody's been able to convince me.
We say that it doesn't matter. I'm choosing to believe it matters though now because it's absolutely in the fucking gutter. And so I think it's funny. So I'm choosing to believe
that
it's
important. Right. I love when it's bad. I love when it's down.
Anything that hurts Elon is probably a good thing at this point.
Yeah.
Any of those fucking weirdos, like, I don't remember their names, but they're just a bunch of clowns.
Oh my God, they make me mad.
This is a little bit slightly less of a, you know, maybe relevant today subject, but it does have to do with business. Can I tell you about cereal?
I would love that.
Well, listen, I brought this thing up last week. I was like, is it true that cereal manufacturers, because this is what my old economics professor, teacher told me, is that you basically have a big tube and it's spitting Cheerios out, and you spit the Cheerios into the Cheerio boxes, and then the Cheerios are done, and then new boxes come in and they're just called O cereal,
mm-hmm.
or like cereal O's, and then you take the same Cheerios and you put it in the
Funny
box.
O's.
Funny-O's, right. So the idea being the name brand is the same as the generic brand. Nobody believes this because if you've ever had knockoff Fruit Loops or knockoff anything, you realize they taste like dog shit. So we knew something was wrong here, but I hadn't really read about it. So I've got the facts now. I researched. This is about maybe 90 minutes of straight up research that
wow.
I did this week. I know. I was going crazy. I
Tell
went down
it.
Some rabbit holes. Generally speaking, it's pretty common, and this is obvious, that the same factory will make generic and name brand cereal. Okay. Not surprising. What they would generally will do is the actual recipe for the product is different, but it uses the same molds and the same machines and so on and so forth. So in that sense, they are made in the same factory, but it's not the same product. But there are situations where sometimes these big name brand cereal manufacturers, like we'll continue to use. What's your favorite cereal? What's like the number one for you? Lucky Charms?
I'm really into Honey Bunches of Oats right now. I don't know if that
okay,
counts
perfect.
As one of these.
Honey Bunches of Oats.
Do they have off-brand Honey Bunches of Oats?
They definitely do. They definitely okay. do. They might. So sometimes Honey Bunches
might.
Of Oats. Honey Bunches of Oats says, we think Mem is going to buy 10 boxes of Honey Bunches of Oats this year. So we're going to make 10. But then if Mem only buys 8, they're like, uh-oh, we've got 2 extra boxes. So sometimes what they will do is they'll sell their name brand cereal to the generic brands like Dollar Tree to put in their boxes at a really, really steep discount. In which case, sometimes if you go to buy the generic brand cereal, you will literally be getting name brand cereal in the box. Kind
but of just some of the time, and then other times
some of the time.
They'll have that
yeah.
same branding on the different recipe.
Exactly.
That's
and this
weird.
Is true. So it's like you could be eating name brand cereal, and there are people out there. I went down this whole rabbit hole, supermarketnews.com. There's podcasts about it. There's
mm-hmm.
all sorts of everything. There are people who like will be eating off-brand cereal, and they go, oh, this week, Dollar Tree in this state has name brand, you know, Frosted Flakes. We can taste the difference. It's actually there. The only reason that we know that this happens is one, because there's grocery nerds who just like love the grocery industry and keep track of all this stuff. But number two, do you know about the Freedom of Information Act? I know a little bit about it, but have you heard about this?
Yeah.
So it's this thing that Obama did where if you need information about something, you can email the government, I guess, and say, hey, give me all your records about whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you go... There's like this big log that I was reading and it's like hundreds of thousands of names and then it's a name and then what they requested from the government and who they requested it from. So for example, in 2019, this lady, she emailed the FDA and said, hey, can I have contact information for anyone responsible for submitting orders for canned and boned chicken? And so you just email that to the FDA or whatever, USDA, and they'll just go, okay, give us a year and we're going to go figure out where all this stuff is. Or you can just email them and say, hi, I want all documents that anyone working for the Haas Avocado Board sent between each other the year 2019. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter. So it's through these requests that we've learned about like, hey, I need information regarding like the overflow product resale of name brand cereals going into whatever. So that's all well and good.
But it's when only, I assume, for like information from government agencies, right?
Well, anything, because I was trying to read into this and I didn't really fully understand
it. It's not like you can be like, give me Steve Jobs' emails.
I don't know. I think it probably has to do, it has to be stuff that has to do with the government, but a lot of stuff gets documented. Like if you're a corporation, a lot of your stuff gets logged in fashion, I think. But I do want to do more reading about like FOIA requests and what that means, because I would like, I'll request some documents. I don't know what about yet, but yeah. I feel like it sounds fun to just be like, give me all the information that has to do with municipal infrastructure in, you know, New Orleans from 1990 to 1995, that or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And then someone just goes and gets it for you. Why do they do that? I don't know. I guess because of Obama.
Wikipedia is saying, requires the full or partial disclosure of previously unreleased or uncirculated information and documents controlled by the U.S. government upon request. So it seems like, yeah, it's like documents that go through the government in some way.
Okay. And so they keep hold of it and then you can get all that. Mm-hmm. I wonder how useful that would be in my life. It just sounds fun to request something very strange.
There's got to be something in a video you have planned that you could request.
Got to be. So yeah, look forward to it. I will do a FOIA request for one of my future videos, definitely. But the main thing I want to bring up to you, so the cereal problem, I mostly understand now. I think it's wild that generic brands care so little about their brand that they'll just like swap out different recipes and nobody cares.
I know. I wonder if you can tell if you look at the box really closely, because I think boxes of stuff like that has to label where the food came from, like the factory that it was made in or whatever.
That's a good point.
So I wonder if the boxes say different things and you can check to see if it's actually the name brand or not, if you like remember the serial numbers. Because I know there's people, and I'm not one of them, anything could happen in the future, but I've heard of people that are so into Goldfish that they know the factory that they like the Goldfish from the best, and they check the serial number to make sure that it came from that one.
We need to unmask this bit, because I need to actually ask you about that. I know it's a bit, and that's great, but I need to know if that's true, and if so, what is the Goldfish factory that you like them from, and why?
No, I said I said I'm not this person. I have not looked into it. I've just seen
this is
it.
Serious.
I've seen other people on the internet that.
Well, I need
say
to know
this.
What is the Goldfish factory?
I don't know. I need to find out next time, because I do notice. I eat them a lot, and I do notice some batches are better than others. Sometimes I get a whole box, because we get the big Costco ones from Costco. The big Costco ones from Costco. And sometimes we'll get a whole big box like that I don't like, that tastes bad. And I'm like, this is such a waste, because it's huge. And I eat them anyway.
And if you get them from Costco, imagine if you could know ahead of time if it was going to be a good batch.
I know.
Does it freak you out that they have different taste? Like, that always bugged me. Like, when I was a kid, I thought, like, if you go to this restaurant, this food is really good. Uh-huh. But as an adult, you realize that, like, it does, to some extent, depend on the day. Like, yeah. Who's cooking it? What ingredient quality did they get? How did the lettuce grow that they got the farm from? And that's really annoying to me, that it's not always the same experience. I guess because I grew up eating a lot of, like, fast food and, like, stuff, but...
Yeah. It's inevitable.
Annoys
it makes
me.
Sense. Different... Even for the branded crackers and stuff, different factories are going to have slightly different settings on their machines or whatever, or like different people working that day, that it just ends up.
Zebra cakes always taste good.
You love a zebra cake.
I guess the more, oh my God, I do. The more you process the food, the easier it is probably to control for flavor and stuff, right? Almost certainly. Can we get a food person on the podcast, a factory food person?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to look around. I'm going to FOIA
any
request
of you guys
the names
work
of
in
people.
in a food factory for like a...
Yeah, I just...
Something packaged
any information,
in the grocery store.
Any information, exactly. Anything packaged, any information I can get about like the process of creating homogenized food. I would love to know more about that. Anyway, none of this is what I wanted to talk about, okay? The real thing I need to bring up to you is raisins. You know raisins?
I do.
Okay. When I was looking through this giant list of FOIA requests, I mean, it is thousands of individual requests that I'm scrolling through at like 9:30 p.m. last Friday. And I'm just looking at all of the, this is, it feels very intimate, all the intimate details.
Yeah.
But then I noticed something, in like 2020, I think. There's a bunch of FOIA requests from a bunch of different people about something called the Raisin Administrative Committee. Okay. I'm like, why are all of these people FOIAing the Raisin Admin Committee? And what is this? Is that literally raisins or
it's
is that the name of a company?
Conspiracy. Raisin conspiracy.
Listen, get ready. So I Google it. I go, what is the Raisin Administrative Committee? Oh, it turns out that the Raisin Administrative Committee are the people responsible for administrating the National Raisin Reserve. And now I'm going, what
Wait,
are you talking about? National
is there a big vat of raisins somewhere?
National Raisin Reserve, okay? What are we talking about? Why do we have a big... What's this government doing? So then I look that up. The National Raisin Reserve was a fuckload of raisins that the U.S. government held in a gigantic factory because they wanted to protect raisin farmers from their raisin prices crashing after World War II. So they said, because they were sending raisins overseas because they packaged really well. Mm. And after the war ended, they were like, if we don't do something right now, the raisin farmers are going to go out of business. And that's a really big problem. So they created a raisin reserve, which meant that every year they had an established price that they forced all raisin farmers to sell some portion of their crop to the government so that it would artificially decrease the amount of raisins available, which would keep the price high. So like the supply and demand, right? So the government was just buying billions and billions and billions of raisins required. You couldn't not do this. You had to give some portion of your raisin crop to the U.S. government. And they were just filling up warehouse after warehouse after warehouse.
Wait,
out in California.
So
I think it was in Fresno.
Was it to conspire to keep the price high? Or was it just that they were subsidizing? Like they were saying, okay, we'll buy a bunch of your raisins because we know there's not enough demand for this many raisins. Because the demand's going down if they're not sending them over anymore.
Yeah. No, it basically is a subsidy.
Yeah.
But it also serves to artificially inflate the price of raisins, just because if you have less raisins, you can sell them for more because it's supply and demand. You know, the demand of raisins is here. And if you artificially, you know, if people want 100 raisins this year and the government buys it until you only have 80 to sell, then you can sell them for more than you'd be able to if you had 100. So there, year after year after year, this is 80 years, the government, and maybe not 80, it was 2015, I think it ended. They just put this program in place after World War II and just kept doing it forever. So the government is like
so
trying to find ways
to... So what do they do with all the extra raisins?
Exactly. They are scrambling to find ways to get rid of these raisins. I am not kidding. They are shipping them overseas. They're just reselling them to other countries.
You're saying this is like 50
cows.
Years they've had extra raisins?
Yeah. No, it's since 1949 or something like that. 1945. And that's part of the reason why they started giving them to schools. So if you ever had a school lunch and you were like, why are there so many raisins? It's because they were trying to get rid of these raisins in the National Raisin Reserve. They were just shipping them out to kids who couldn't afford lunch. And they were
where
like, we've got all these raisins.
Where is the giant pile of raisins?
Fresno, California. Now, the problem is the early 2010s, some farmer was like, I don't want to keep giving away so many raisins at the price, because the price was set by the government and they were like, this isn't fair. And so the Supreme Court, it got all the way to them and they said, actually, yeah, this is not fair. This is not free market enough. And so you must end the National Raisin Reserve. And so they ended it. The National Raisin Reserve, they got rid of all their raisins. Who knows how? I couldn't figure that out. And now there's no more National Raisin Reserve.
Maybe they buried them all in the desert like the ET video game.
They're buried next to the ET. They're going to grow a bunch of grape trees.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then obviously I'm like, how many other strange things is our government doing that like people did back in the 50s that we just forgot about that are just still happening?
Yeah, I want to know if we have any other enormous vats of food like that.
We do.
Foods.
And
okay.
I have a giant list of things,
so
like weird things like this. I'm not going to go because I haven't researched all the individual things, but I can just read
sure,
you
yeah,
a
I
couple
know
of
the list,
random
though.
Things that I found, right? We have, and some of these are current, some of them are gone. There is a national cheese stockpile. I think we still have that, actually. It's in, they keep it in a cave somewhere, I think in Wisconsin. National cheese
in
stockpile.
A cave in Wisconsin. That's incredible.
They literally like keep it. It's like how we have the national, we have a national oil reserve, just like a fuck ton of oil that we keep in these salt mines in somewhere, just in case we need it. We have, of course, our national seed vault. That's a big one that people kind of know about, is we have like
I've heard of that.
A couple of seeds of everything, right?
Yeah.
The Strategic Petroleum Reserve
plant version.
We have Noah's Ark plant version. We now have a bunch for like uranium in case we need to make a bunch of nukes.
Oh, that's
fun. We used
to
have a helium reserve because we used to use helium for like military balloons and stuff. I think we just started one for rare earth metals, like computer chip shit.
Yeah.
So we have a bunch of those. Let's see. We used to, I don't think we do anymore, but we used to have a giant stockpile of ice. For some reason, I don't know why we needed ice, but it is what it was. And then the last one is grain. Now that's not that surprising. I feel like having a grain stockpile is not a bad idea, but it's just, it's interesting to me how little we hear about these gigantic coordinated efforts from our government. And like nobody knows about them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how much? It's like, it's a lot of work to have enough cheese for all of America.
Yeah,
like, that's a lot of work to do that.
I'm curious about the cheese one because cheese goes bad. Like, how much cheese are you keeping? How are you keeping it from molding? And it's in a cave. Like, I know you said you don't have more info, so that's fine. I can look into it later.
Hundreds of feet below the ground in Missouri, there are hundreds of thousands of pounds of American cheese. It's all American cheese, apparently, according to this picture. Deep inside of limestone caves.
I mean, that explains it then, because American cheese doesn't go bad.
Right. Kept at a perfect 36 degrees Fahrenheit. it has 1.4 billion pounds of surplus cheese. There was a national dairy shortage in the 1970s, I guess. And they were like, we never want this to happen again. We can never not have enough dairy. And so Jimmy Carter decided to buy a fuckload of cheese.
Wow.
Just in case we needed it. Yeah. So it's like, where's the Call of Duty game about this? That's what I need to know. Why are we not? This is cooler than JFK, you know?
Man.
But nobody knows about it.
I wish I could have seen the big raisin pile. I'm just imagining it like how they store corn in those big silos where it's just like enormous pile of raisins.
I believe they had them stored in wooden crates, just loose in these wooden crates, mm-hmm. a bunch of them, if I remember correctly. But
that's really incredible. So, I love that you went down this rabbit hole. That was better than I could have imagined, honestly.
Well, hey, we love to learn on GLHF. Big fans of learning.
Sorry about
now we
me
know a little bit
earlier.
More about our government. No, that's okay. I think, forgive you, but I am happy with it.
Saying Elon's name is a bit of a trigger for me that like activates my sleeper cell programming.
He's a genuinely terrible...
I turn into
terrible...
a different person.
He's a gerbil. Gerbil? Why am I saying gerbil? He's terrible. He's a terrible force on our beloved land of Earth and the country, but in the other order,
Earth,
I guess.
Yeah, Earth and Mars and anywhere.
Well, Mars, well, I guess we'll see.
He'll leave
There's
a stain
you can
anywhere
ruin
he
on
goes.
Mars. So we'll see. He does a lot of drugs. That's what I hear. I don't know. That might be hearsay or whatever, allegedly.
No, I don't think it's hearsay anymore. I think we know.
We have a lot of circumstantial evidence.
Yeah.
If only that's all he did, you know? But white men gotta have dreams.
Have you seen that picture of him with the world's largest computer monitor playing some...
I have not.
Wait, I don't remember what he was playing. It's one of these games that he like claims he's good at, but he's not, because he's not actually good at games.
Yes,
which is
one of the funniest things about him.
Yeah, one of the funniest things about him for sure is how desperate he is to be perceived as funny on Twitter and be perceived as a guy who's good at video games.
Well, he must have... Are you talking about like recently when he was gaming and there's that picture of him with a giant like a widescreen curved monitor?
In the dark, yes.
Yes, I did see that picture. Okay, I thought you meant like a comedy monitor, but it is funny. Yeah,
huge monitor. It is comically huge. It's the size of a TV, but he's sitting 2 feet in front of it. in the dark.
It's pretty funny.
Pitch dark. And I think, like, all of his past wives have said that he, like, totally neglects his family to play video games. And he's not even good at it. Like, those are the things that make me happy to hear.
He must have, and like, imagine, I'm not in any way trying to generate sympathy for this man at all. But you remember the thing we talked about with Katy Perry, how it's like after a certain point, it's impossible to know anything about yourself based on other people's opinions because you're always going to have infinite, like, his brain must be, especially considering if there's drug use involved, an absolute nightmare, like an unbelievable.
Oh, yes.
Like, I'm not denying
at all that he is miserable, and a lot of people like this are completely miserable. I actually cannot imagine the horror it is to be him.
Yeah, but at the same time, he can probably eat shit, you know?
Yeah, but you can be miserable and a horrible person.
Absolutely, and a lot of the times they are.
And that's your punishment.
Yeah, it's like, who does he have to tell him that his monitor is cringe? Because all those people are probably long gone, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Elon is getting to the point. I mean, he's like cracking more and more when he appears in public. Like, he does not seem okay. And I think it's because
he does look pretty freaky,
he's
yeah.
kind of finally getting to a point where he's running out of yes men. Like, definitely, like,
so.
10 years ago, he had more than enough yes men to, like, be able to ignore all the hate, probably.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably finally getting to a point where more and more people are leaving him with his thoughts, and he's kind of going increasingly crazy.
Yeah.
So
we wish him the best of luck. Nothing,
good
nothing
luck
good
with
vibes
that. Yeah.
For Elon. Out here.
Oof.
Yeah, listener questions? They, you know, I talked enough
Jesus,
about raisins.
I forgot. It's been 15 minutes. Hold on.
No, just pull up a couple. We just got to kill a little bit more time. It's going to be great.
Yes, let's
it's
do
fun.
Some questions. Maybe I'll cut out some of my raving.
No. Come on. People want to hear that. People love and respect you. They understand that, first of all, nobody in our comments is like an Elon simp, I should hope. So,
no,
like,
I know that. I just think it's cringe to be angry on the internet. But I can't help it with that guy.
In some ways, well, isn't that just because you want, like, isn't the point of not being angry all the time so that when it's actually time to be angry, people care? I don't think that actually
Maybe.
Works. But
somebody wants to know, what's your favorite faction in StarCraft?
Ooh, I played Zerg mostly back in the day, but aesthetically, geez, I think the Terran are actually pretty sick. They're big tanks and their machine guns. I'm proud to be an American.
I don't know anything about StarCraft, so
it is a great strategy
game. I support
game.
Whatever
you, think?
You support.
Terran. We support the Terran. There's not actually that many questions, I feel like. Someone asked if I've seen 12 Angry Men, because I said that all movies from the 50s were bad. That's John Cooper. Yes, I have seen 12 Angry Men. That is a fantastic film. Very, very good film. Only good black and white movie. Sorry, it is what it is. You know, I can't. They hated Jesus for he spoke the truth, you know? And then that YouTube channel, I'm sure you saw this, but I was trying to remember the name of that YouTube channel about failed businesses. And it is, in fact, called Company Man. Company Man does videos all about, like, bankrupt businesses and stuff.
Everybody's got questions for you. Somebody says, what DAW do you use for making music?
Logic Pro. You already know.
I sometimes think about starting making music, but I want to make, like, cheesy MIDI music that sounds like you're going into a medieval castle in a video game. And
the best way to do that would be to
horns. And
yeah,
I want to
buy an old,
like,
Yamaha
a
keyboard.
I want to do it in some kind of, like, weird, obscure software that nobody uses and that's not meant for that. Here's a good question. What is the worst job that you would be willing to do instead of being YouTubers? Why would I want to do a bad job, I guess?
Yeah, it is. It's a weird way to phrase that question. Like, what's the shitty? Okay,
like,
my shittiest job would be CEO of a giant company where I don't have to do anything. That's as bad as it'll get. You know.
because I'm always going to choose YouTuber over basically anything. But I guess it's right. saying and if it's we like, can't be YouTubers, what's the worst job that we'd be willing to do?
But the thing with jobs is you need them to pay your bills. So you will just do whatever job is available. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't really go like, I'd rather not have to work as a plumber or like a garbage man, you know. I'd rather just not have a house. Like, you're going to pick, you don't pick the jobs based on like whether you would like to do them or not.
Right.
Right. So like the worst job I'd be willing to do, I'll do any, like if I need money, I'll do whatever I need to, you know. I'll be a garbage
man. Yeah, it's also a question of like how long do I have to do this for the rest of my life or just like a couple of years?
But that's what I mean is the hypothetical presumes that you have a choice. And if that's the case, you're always going to choose the least bad job. Yeah. So asking like, what's the worst job you'd be willing to do?
Yeah, like, I know what you mean. It's you know what kind I mean? Of like an oxymoron.
The answer is like any job. But if I have a choice, I'm going to pick the least bad one. Like that's yeah. not, I don't see what I don't think there's any job that if I needed money, I straight up wouldn't
Would
do.
Would you other do? Than like, do you remember the show Dirty Jobs?
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Would you do any of those?
Again, if you have
like
to do them,
sewage guy,
you're going to do them. Somebody has to do them. I don't like how much we take those people for granted. There's so many people who are like,
oh,
you,
sure.
I don't want to do stuff. And I'm like, you know, somebody has to, is a, like, somebody is going through this shit so that you can live a nice life where you can flush shit down the toilet and not have to deal with it. Like, so you are giving that problem to somebody else every time you.
I know. I'm very grateful that people are willing to do that.
Exactly. We should be grateful. Like, this, we shouldn't be looking at these as like dirty jobs. Other than if we're marketing a TV show that we want people to watch, obviously. Like this, these people should be kind of, is it venerated? Is that the word for like, you know, like beloved? These
exonerated?
We really should. Exonerated is close. So yeah, I would do, if I had my job, if I had, you know, someone's got to do it. And so if there's no garbage man and I need money, I'll go be a garbage man. I'll go clean poop. You know, the amount of times I had to unclog old men's doo-doo from the toilet at the place I worked every Sunday, 3 or 4 times every Sunday, I was in there up to my hands and knees just in brown water trying to get this these old men to eat some fiber. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. And if I had to do a dirty job, that's just what it would be. You know, someone has to. We're a community. We have to help each other. And I, if you need money, you need money. Anyway, what's your worst job you would do? You worked kind of in a McDonald's, right?
I've worked at Sonic and Starbucks.
Yeah, so that's
both
like in the ballpark.
For like only 3 or 4 months each, so I can't really say. I don't know. I feel like I can't really say I worked a service job that much because people work it for years and that feels different than a summer.
But
I've dipped a toe in.
Exactly. Got up to your hands and knees in that brown water.
I guess, I mean, I'm like one of these liberal elites with two master's degrees now. So assuming that I get to keep my degrees, I have a lot of choices when it comes to jobs. Because guess what? You get a degree and then you can just apply for shit that doesn't really yeah. have that much to do with that degree. But because you have yeah. a master's, people hire you. Like, as long as you can explain why, you know, you can, like, make up a way that your degree relates, you can work, you have more options than you think, so.
Yeah, people kind of shit on college these days, I feel like, but I feel like it actually does kind of help. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm out of touch, but.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking about this on my little members Q&A I did yesterday, how in the current state of the world, I can't really recommend college. I think it's become a distortion of what it at least used to purport to be. Maybe it never was what it purported to be, but certainly not now.
I wonder what there's got to be data available still of like income for college versus for not college. Like what is that looking like right now? Is it actually,
I don't know what it is now. I know when I started college, that was the thing everybody was saying was, look how much more money you make with a college degree. But definitely by now it's just we're oversaturated with people with college degrees now because everybody gets one and every job requires one.
Employees who don't graduate high school earn an average of $27,000 per year. If you have high school but no college, $37,000. If you have some college but never graduated, 40. If you have an associate's, 43. Bachelor's, why doesn't it say for bachelor's? It divides it up by $1,200 a week. How much is that?
That's a
$1,400
weird...
a week. Yeah, why did they switch it to a week? Now I got to do fucking
that is
math.
Weird.
Okay, so for if you have a bachelor's, it goes up to $62,000. So a big, big difference between associates and bachelor's. And this is just like blanket averages, obviously. And then $1,400 a week for a master's program, which is $72K. But doesn't a master's cost like fucking $80,000 now or something crazy like that?
Just totally depends if you get financial aid or if you get an assistantship. You can do a master's for free a lot of the time if you're a research assistant.
Okay, so if you can get like a it sounds like a bachelor's degree, if you could do it at like a community college, it's probably still worth it. Again, broad
well,
strokes,
this is,
averages.
Yeah, this is averages across all subjects, so it's kind of meaningless. It totally depends on what you want to do.
Yes, it would mean that you would need to obviously pick something that would be part of that. We'd have to break down. Oh, maybe that'll be my research topic for this week. Is college worth it? We'll dig into some of the data there. It certainly seems less so than it used to be.
Yeah, the summary of what I said in my stream yesterday was pick the kind of life you want to live, including like how much personal time you want, stuff like that. Find a job that aligns with that, and then figure out what you need to do that specific job. And the job does not need to be the same thing that you enjoy doing in your free time, as long as it's something you can see yourself being willing to do, and then follow the path you need to get that specific job. So sometimes that involves college, and very grateful obviously to all the like medical staff. Like, we will always need nurses and doctors. That's a very noble thing to do that requires college. Go for it. But if you're going into college with no plan other than because you're supposed to, and then you just pick a major based on something that you like learning about.
For sure.
No, that's stupid.
I think that is really good advice, actually. I think, like, just be very pragmatic. Like, where do you want to be, and how do you get there?
Use it as a tool to get to where you want to go.
Yes.
And don't rule out jobs that don't require college, like trades and stuff. There's plenty of... you have a lot more options than you think you do. I think high schoolers these days are just told go to college as the first step, and then they're actually missing out on lots of other possible opportunities with like trade schools and like more specific training to do a job that they actually might also like. So,
and like jobs that are really important to society.
Exactly.
Like, these are things that are like super, like the sewer guys. Yeah, I think what I was reacting to was more kind of that. What should I call him? EM? Could I call him, should I call him Grimes's boy toy? What should I call him so to not trigger you?
No, you can say Elon, and I'll just
like that,
hold
that
my tongue.
Whole fucking crowd and their whole like college is useless. You just got to be an entrepreneur. And I'm like, hold on. Let's not blanket stigmatize this entire system, right? Like you said.
Right.
It has uses. It has not uses. It's good for some things. It's not good for other things. Just use it when it's useful.
Yeah, and the context for those specific guys is they're saying that because most of the time they were already born into wealth, so they can just lean on that while they figure out whatever the fuck else they want to do.
Yeah, when's the last time we had a true rags to riches? You know, true rags to riches.
It's not
story.
Very often. A lot of these tech bros
me?
Have. Maybe it's you.
Could be.
All right, we'll find that out next time.
All right, great.
Thanks for being a baby with me again.
Hey, anytime.